jana balava tiri barhari yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana Jasura Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Om Vishnu Paraparamahansa Pariprachakacharya Ashtotara Sarasvi Shriman His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskon Pratista Acharya Jagad Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Ananta Kota Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadeep Simaipotam Ki Jai Ganga Maya Ki Jai Jamuna Maya Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai Sri Harinam Samkitan Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Jai Nitai Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Glories to Sri Lipapada Om Vishnu Pataya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namini Namati Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivashisha Sanyavari Paschachate Shatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garatha Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari What verse is on the board? Huh? What number? 28 to 30. 30 on the board? Okay. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text Number 30. Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Prahlada Uvacha. Matir Nakrishni Parata Svatova. Mito bipadyeta griha vratanam Adanta gopir vishatam tamishram Puna punas chavitam chavananam Matirna krishni parata shvatova Mito vipadyeta grihavratanam. Adanta gobir vishatam tamishram. Puna punas charvitam chavananam. Matina Krishna Parata Svatova Mito Vipadyeta Griha Vratanam Adanta Gopi Vashatam Tamishram Puna Punas Chavita Chavananam. Sri Pallada Uvacha Mati Nakrishni Parata Svatova Mito Pia Padieta Griha Vratanam Hanantoko Vivasatam Puna punasya vitam charpananam. Sri Prahlada uvacha Mati kati Mito upapeta griha vratanam Anandi gobi vasatam tamishram Puna puna shavita chavananam. Sri Pallada uvacha Mati na krishni parata svatova Mito piyapadyeta grihavratanam Ananda gopi vishatantam isham Puna puna charvita charvananam. Any messages? Sri Prahlada uvacha Mati na krishne parata svatova Adanta gopi vishatam tamishram Puna punasya Anavindam. Sri Pallada uvacha Tumba Adanta gobi Pasadanta vishram Puna punascham Uvacha Mati na krishni parata svatova Mito pratanam Adanta gobi vashatam tamishram Puna panischa Very famous verse Prabhupada quoted thousands and thousands of times. Puna punash chavitam chavanam. Chewing what is already chewed. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, the boy Charanadavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prahlada Maharaj replied, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclination toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Purport. In this verse, the words Matirana Krishne refer to devotional service rendered to Krishna. So-called politicians, erudite scholars, and philosophers who read Bhagavad Gita try to twist some meaning from it to suit their material purpose. But their misunderstandings of Krishna will not yield them any profit, because such politicians, philosophers, and scholars are interested in using Bhagavad Gita as a vehicle for adjusting things materially. For them, constant thought of Krishna or Krishna consciousness is impossible. Matirana Krishne, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 1855, Bhaktya Mama Janati, only through devotional service can one understand Krishna as he is. The so-called politicians and scholars think of Krishna as fictitious. The politicians say that his Krishna is different from the Krishna depicted in the Bhagavad Gita. Even though he accepts Krishna and Rama as the supreme, he thinks of Rama and Krishna as impersonal because he has no idea of service to Krishna. Thus his only business is puna punas charvitam charvanam, chewing the chewed again and again. The aim of such politicians and academic scholars is to enjoy this material world with their bodily senses. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that those who are grihabrata, whose only aim in life is to live comfortably with the body in the material world, they cannot understand Krishna. These two expressions, grihabrata and charvita charvananam, indicate that a materialistic person tries to enjoy sense gratification in different bodily forms of life, life after life, but still unsatisfied. In the name of personalism, thisism or thatism, such persons always remain attached to the materialistic way of life. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 244, Bhoga Shvarya Prasaktanam Taya Prita Chetasham Vyasatmika Bhuti Samado Nabhitadyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Those who are attached to material enjoyment cannot be fixed in devotional service to the Lord. They cannot understand Bhagavan, Krishna, or his instructions. Bhagavad Gita. Ananta Gopi Vishatam Tamishram. Their path actually leads one towards the hellish, towards hellish life. As confirmed by Rishabhadev, Mahatsevam Dvaram Madhur Vimukti, one must try to understand Krishna by serving a devotee. The word Mahat refers to a devotee. Mahatmanas tu mamparta devim prakatim ashvita vajatanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Bhagavad Gita 9:13. A Mahatma is one who constantly engages in devotional service 24 hours a day, as explained in the following verses. Unless one adheres to such great personalities, one cannot understand Krishna. Hiranyakashipu wanted to know where Prahlad had gotten his Krishna consciousness. Who taught him? Prahlad sarcastically replied, "My dear father, persons like you never understand Krishna." One can understand Krishna only by serving a Mahat, a great soul. Those who try to adjust material conditions are said to be chewing the chewed. None of them has been able to adjust material conditions. Life after life, generation after generation, people try and repeatedly fail. Unless one is properly chained by a Mahatma, or unalloyed devotee of the Lord, there is no possibility of one's understanding Krishna and his devotional service. So here, we have to understand Krishna by taking shelter of a Mahatma. The Mahatma knows Krishna, so he can give Krishna, he can reveal Krishna. But people like Hiranyakashipu, they're not going to listen to the Mahatmas. Prahlad is a Mahatma, but Hiranyakashipu is not willing to listen to him. So Prabhupada, in the first part of the purport, he's talking about how the politicians and scholars, they cannot understand Krishna. Why? Because they don't take to the devotional service of Krishna. Bhakti mam avijananti, I can only be known by devotion. Or I can only be known by a devotee. But here Prabhupada's pointing out, most probably he's speaking about Dr. Radha Krishan, who was the Prime Minister of India some time ago. He was a kind of a scholar, philosopher. And Prabhupada often quotes him actually in his books. But he says, he wrote a version of Bhagavad Gita also. And he says, when Krishna says, sarva dhanam parityajyamam ekam sharanam braja, it's not to Krishna, the person, you surrender, but to the unborn, eternal within. That is what is you surrender to. In other words, Mayavad. So they can never understand Krishna. But how can they render service to avoid something impersonal? How can they render service? Therefore, because they cannot render service, how can they know Krishna? I'm only revealed by bhakti, Krishna says, by service. So how will they ever know? So this is going on. Prabhupada said, that's okay, you want to write Bhagavad Gita or version, but you don't call it Bhagavad Gita. You call it Dr. Radha Krishan Bhagavad Gita. Or Bhagavad is Krishna's name. It's his book, Gita. Bhagavad Gita is Bhagavan's, it's Krishna's Gita, but everyone's using his fame and popularity of that book and putting their name in it. Bhagavad Gita by Sri Aurobindo, Mahesh Yogi, Dr. Radha Krishan. So they can call it that, we don't mind, but right on the top, Dr. Radha Krishan Gita. That's okay. You can make your own book, but don't call it Bhagavan's Gita, because they're misleading everyone. We want to hear Bhagavan's Gita, Krishna's Gita. He spoke it. He knows how to present it. So Prabhupada's pointing out this is going on again and again and again, and all these politicians really want not to establish Krishna, but still their sense enjoyers. They still want to enjoy their senses in the material world. Somehow now that they'll juggle everything and think they're going to stay here eternally. And Prabhupada's pointing out, they tried in the future, it didn't work. They're trying at present, it's not working. And we can understand the future by the past and present, that it's not going to work in the future either. That people are happy by making material adjustments. It's not going to work. So they're simply chewing the chewed. Prabhupada says, you chew the akera, sugar cane. Chew it, very nice, juicy, sweet sugar. And then you spit it out. Nobody comes and picks it up and says, oh, there's some juice there. Let me. Nobody does that. Unless maybe Guru Maharaj is eating. But nobody does it and tries to take some juice. It's already been chewed, the juice is gone. So like that, they are chewing the chewed. They'll never get taste because it's already there. They're missing the juice. So, yeah, chewing the chewed. So we have to take shelter of the Mahatmas, and then we can see things clearly. Otherwise, everyone becomes bewildered. So many, when Prabhupada went to America, 700 translations of Bhagavad Gita. And someone asked him, recommend the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, I cannot recommend out of the 700 Bhagavad Gitas in here. I can't recommend anyone, because none are touching on the real point of bhakti. And we see that when Prabhupada presented Bhagavad Gita as it is to America, we see the effect of that. You know, people gave up their whole lives, their whole culture, their dress, everything. Here we are with tilaks and things like that, and dhoti, and following this culture. At best, they were using it as a philosophical, just to talk some philosophy. Bhagavad Gita is a higher philosophy, so just sit and discuss the philosophy. But no question of surrendering to Krishna, no question of changing lifestyle or habit. But when we hear Bhagavad Gita as it is, everything, throw your jeans away and put on a dhoti and sorry. The whole lifestyle changes. So this is the potency, and everyone becomes devotees of Krishna. 24 hours a day they're chanting Krishna, 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 talking to Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Due to Bhagavad Gita as it is, but before nobody did that. So this is the importance of hearing from the Mahatmas. Mahatmanas tu mam parta. Those who will not bewilder, the great souls, they're under the protection of the Devi Prakriti, divine nature, the internal potency. So therefore they can reveal Krishna. The external potency cannot reveal Krishna, it just reveals sense gratification. But the internal potency of Krishna, Yogamaya, it reveals Krishna. Yogamaya is like a curtain, she reveals Krishna, or she can also cover Krishna. But those who are Mahatmas, then they can actually, they have revelation. Yogamaya is revealed, the curtain of Yogamaya, they can see the truth, so therefore they can present Bhagavad Gita and present Krishna and devotional service. So great soul, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, quoting this verse, Mahatmas tu mam, it says that there those who are great souls who are not deluded are under the protection of divine nature. It said those who are fully engaged in devotional service, they are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the devotee said, so we're practicing devotional service, so we're under the protection of Yogamaya, Prabhupada. Devi Prakriti, those who are performing devotional service, they come under the protection of Devi Prakriti. So he said that, so we're performing devotional service, Prabhupada, so we're practicing, we're under the shelter of the divine energy, the Devi Prakriti. Prabhupada said, not exactly like that. He said, no, but Prabhupada, it says in Bhagavad Gita that those who are performing devotions, they come under the protection of the divine energy. Prabhupada said, no, it's not exactly like that. He said that those who are practicing devotees, they're still their activities are still conducted by the modes of material nature, because they're not out of the modes of material nature. But their activities are still conducted by the modes of material, but under the direction and dictation of the Devi Prakriti. So in other words, he was saying then we are transcendental because we are engaged in devotional service. But he said, Prabhupada said, no, still the modes of material nature are still moving everything. But the modes of material nature are dictated to, are directed by Yogamaya. So we shouldn't think, just because it says you're performing devotional service that I'm a Mahatma. No, I'm performing, I become a Mahatma. No one has to, this is revealed to one, the spiritual nature is revealed to one. By a Mahatma, and then one can become a Mahatma. But in until that time, they're serving under the modes of material nature are doing everything, but under the dictation of Yogamaya. So, I was asked to speak something on the archana, which we missed in Anyway, I was asked to finish the chapter. It's quite a few pages. I was asked to read this. I was asked to speak on Jagannath. I don't know. A lot of things to speak about. Anyway, so we were speaking on one. Prahlad Maharaj was giving 9 processes of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vandana. So we were talking about Archanam, it's one of the 9 processes of deity worship. And Prabhupada said some interesting things. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Archanam. And Prabhupada says, if one is interested in the process of Archanam, one must positively take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and learn the process from him. There are many books for Archana, especially the Narada Pancharatra. In this age, the Pancharatra system is particularly recommended for Archana, deity worship. There are 2 systems of Archana, the Bhagavata and the Pancharatriki system. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no recommendation of Pancharatriki worship, because in the age of Kali, even without deity worship, everything can be perfectly performed simply by hearing, chanting, remembering, and worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. So Prabhupada's pointing out there's 2 tracks, like the tracks of a train is running on 2 tracks. So Bhagavat system and the Pancharatriki Vidhi. Bhagavat Vidhi means you've already awakened your attraction for Krishna. So you know how to serve Krishna. Nobody really has to tell you. You love your baby, no one really comes and tells you. You don't take a guru to say, how do I love my child? You naturally have affection. That's called Bhagavad Vidhi. So you don't need any rules and regulations. Krishna is there and you're his servant and you have service. You're doing it with affection. If you don't have that affection, if it's covered at the moment, too covered, so then the second best process is Pancharatriki Vidhi, rules and regulations. But here Prabhupada is saying the Pancharatriki system is not recommended in Kali Yuga, but then it goes on to say that it says Srimad Bhagavatam says there is no recommendation for Pancharatriki worship, but then later on Prabhupada says it's therefore recommended that initiated devotees follow the principles of the Narad Pancharatra by worshipping the deity in the temple. So it's like a contradiction. It said the idea is that the Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't recommend Pancharatriki, but Pancharatriki is misspoken in Bhagavatam. It's spoken in Bhagavatam. The 11th canto, you get processes of deity worship and things like that. Krishna is telling Uddhava. Kapila Muni is teaching deity worship as part of the Shankya philosophy. So the rules are there. So what it means here is that it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's not recommended by the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is recommended the direct process of Shravanam Kirtanam, just fully absorbed in the devotional service. Because the same effect is achieved by chanting in the holy names in the age of Kali. That is a better recommendation. Cultivate the chanting of Hare Krishna rather than the deity worship is a slow process. But then again it says, basically the Prabhupada spoke the whole page here, but he's saying that to come to the mode of goodness, then you should worship the deity. And because nobody's practically in the mode of goodness in Kali Yuga, then we have to have this process of Pancharatriki Vidhi, where we can engage all the senses, eyes, nose, tongue, belly, genitals, everything can be engaged in the service of the Lord. Because we can't sit down and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Like Haridas Thakur, we can't do it. So therefore the deity worship is recommended because you're going to absorb all the senses in the service of the Lord. So practically that's what it's saying. And specifically it's addressing the householders should definitely engage in deity worship. Otherwise they will fall down from their standard. Positively they will fall down. Sanatana Goswami also mentions the same thing. I think he's quoting Hari Bhakti Vilas. Yeah, if the grihasthas don't engage in deity worship, they must fall down from the standard of purity. So when there's a deity in the house and you must wake up on time to serve the deity, it means you have to have a clean cloth. It means you're going to offer your bhoga to Krishna. You're not going to eat bhoga, you're going to eat prasadam. So like main thing in the house is offering bhoga to the deity, so you can eat the Krishna prasadam and sanctify the household. So then therefore it becomes necessary in Kali Yuga because of the condition of the living entities. But the Bhagavatam is not recommending doing this. It's recommended just hearing and chanting. That's the best thing. Bhagavad Vidhi. Bhagavad Vidhi means practically that's all you do, hearing and chanting. You know? Hearing, chanting, remembering. That's all you do if you take the path of Bhagavad Vidhi. Ragmag. But you see, even those people who do perform worship in Ragmag, they still worship deities. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he's came to propagate the holy name as a principal means in Kali Yuga, the only means of deliverance, the only way, the only way, the only way, still Mahaprabhu instructed all of his major disciples worship deities. Govinda Deva, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Madan Mohanji. So Mahaprabhu instructed, he himself also would go see Jagannath every day, Jagannath Rathyatra Ki, Jay, got it in. Okay, he would go and see Jagannath every day, take darshan of Jagannath. And so he himself also showed us as the Acharya, although he came to promote the heart, the chanting of Hare Krishna, he himself come to worship the deities and instructed all of his disciples in worshiping the deities. So here it says, actually the brahmacharis should be out preaching. They shouldn't be doing the puja. They should go out with the sannyasis, and the grihasthas should be doing the deity worship. Mm. Of course, anyway, the idea is that the grihasthas, they positively should worship deities, either in the temple, best, or if you live close by, that's best you worship. If not, then you can worship at home. But Prabhupada said, don't take it as an excuse that I've got deities in my home, therefore I won't come into the temple and perform the morning whole program in the morning. Prabhupada wanted us to come and perform the whole morning program. And anyway, when you see the worship going on and the arti going on, you get exactly the same benefit as the person who's performing the worships. You don't become bereft of any benefits. So to sanctify the household, then it's recommended archana, deity worship. So therefore, you have so many rules and regulations, so many rules are there in archana. And what are all these rules and regulations for? So you never forget Krishna. That's why they're all there, so you never forget Krishna. The Bhagavad Vidhi is for persons who always remember Krishna. So if you can't do that, always remember Krishna, then you have the second best, Pancharachiki Vidhi, which means never forget Krishna. So all these rules and regulations are there so we don't forget Krishna. I've got to get up early in the morning, I've got to immediately remember the deity, go take bath, I got to put on clean cloth because I'm going to see Krishna, go to the temple, see the deity, Mangalarti. So it's always never forgetting Krishna. Everything we do is to never forget Krishna. But those who always remember Krishna, that's called Bhagavad Vidhi. They have attraction for Krishna also. So like that, then the grihasthas can worship according to the, you can worship the deity in your house. You can worship him as an expansion from the temple deity, that he's coming to your house to receive your, worship. And they can, you can sanctify the household according to the Smarta Bidhi. Ladies say they shouldn't worship Vishnu Tattva deity, Shaligram, any Vishnu Tattva deity. They can worship Devi. The Devi puja goes on in the home, in typical caste Brahmin families. Then the man does the puja to the Vishnu Tattva deities. And the Matajis, they worship Devi and Ganesh and things like this. They usually have some demigods. So that's according to the Smarta Vidhi. But according to the Bhagavad Vidhi, which is more prominent for us, and the Matajis can even worship Shaligram Shila. They can worship the Vishnu deities. They can worship them. So they can all, everyone is, can be fully engaged in. So Prabhupada says, so one should take advantage of both paths, the Bhagavad path and the Panchvachiki path. Like, train is running on two tracks, so we run on two tracks. Bhagavad Vidhi is there, we have our hearing and chanting, mostly that's what's going on, Bhagavatam class, preaching. This is all Bhagavad Vidhi, and the going to attending Mangalati, yeah, attending Mangalati, following all the rules, taking darshan. So we're doing both Panchvachiki Vidhi and the Bhagavad Vidhi. So. So then the pujaris, they can worship the deities nicely, but also because we're a preaching movement, then the idea is that we want to create a wonderful atmosphere in the deity room. So when pilgrims come, they become attracted to Krishna. So the pujaris, although they're engaged in all these different rituals, they can also utilize it for preaching. And they can tell the visitors and guests when they come the history of the deities, the mahatmas, give them charanamrita, give them like that. So pujaris have, although they're engaged in panchvachiki deity worship, they can enthuse others by the, you know, seeing the devotees can come and having big festivals, and devotees get their bliss from festivals. They're out all day working, or they come to the temple and then there's a festival to do. So the devotees, the pujaris can do that to create a blissful festival for the devotees. So by also there's 9 angas of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vandana. And by any one of those, one can become perfect also. Just like Archana. It's called Archana Siddhi. You can become perfect simply by worshipping the deity, by following all the rules and regulations. You gradually become purified. Then you can... one can become perfect by that. Archana Siddhi, or perfection of Archana. So any of these processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vandana, you can become perfect by adopting any one of these processes, or you can adopt all 9 also. But one is okay, but if it's one process, but the holy name has to be there. In the age of Kali. Stephen asked, without the holy name nothing works. So then the holy name becomes the life of bhakti. All the 9 angas of bhakti, they will come alive by the process of chanting Hare Krishna along with that anga of bhakti. So that becomes the life of bhakti, the kirtanam. Just like the body is dead, but as soon as the soul is in the body, then everything becomes activated. The eyes work, the mouth works, everything. So similarly, when the chanting of Hare Krishna is there, it enlivens all the different angas of bhakti. So whether you're doing meditation or you're doing archana or you're remembering the Lord or whatever, if the holy name has to be there, then that will enliven and you will get perfection through that process because of the presence of the holy name. So that always has to be there. Yeah. So anyway, actually Prabhupada said one time, we can do without temples in ISKCON. We can do without deities. We can even do without books, he said. But we cannot do without chanting Hare Krishna. That is the main thing. But we have all these things. We have books, we have temples, we have, because that's conducive for expanding the mission, for preaching, and engages the senses in all these different aspects of worship. So, okay, then it goes on and gives a big list of different offenses that should be avoided during deity worship. Well, I'll read some of them. To enter into the temple while wearing shoes or being carried on a palanquin. To not observe prescribed festivals. To avoid offering obeisances in front of the deity, to offer prayers in an unclean state, not having washed one's hands after eating, to offer obeisances with one hand. Some people I see, they come in the temple, they have flowers in their hand or in their cloth, and then they pay obeisances. They got the flowers in the bag or something. They pay obeisances with one hand. Technically, it's wrong, because when this offering of obeisances is like a submission, I'm submitting my surrendering to you, Krishna. And so when you've got the flowers, it all becomes offered to Krishna, because you're submitting yourself before the deity. So these flowers all becomes prasadam, technically, prasadi, because you're offering it to Krishna as a part of offering yourself. So anyway, these are some of the rules then. To circumambulate the deity, to circumambulate directly in front of the deity. To spread one's legs before the deity. To sit before the deity while holding one's ankles with one hand. To lie down before the deity. To eat before the deity. To speak lies before the deity. To address someone else loudly before the deity. To talk nonsense before the deity, to cry before the deity, to argue before the deity, to chastise someone before the deity, to show someone favor before the deity. Shouldn't criticize, you shouldn't eulogize someone in front of the deity, except for like guru and things like that, that's okay. To blaspheme someone before the deity, to worship someone else before the deity, to use vulgar language before the deity, to pass air before the deity, to avoid very opulent worship of the deity even though one is able to perform it, to eat something not offered to the deity, to avoid offering fresh fruits to the deity according to season. It's to offer food to the deity which has already been used or from which has been given to someone else first. To sit with one's back to the deity, to offer obeisances to the deity, to offer obeisances to someone else in front of the deity, not to chant proper prayers when offering obeisances to the spiritual master, to praise someone else before the deity, to blaspheme the demigods in the worship of the deity, to put on red or bluish clothing before the deity. Some people say red indicates the mode of passion. Some people say the deep blue is mode of ignorance, dark tamasi. So rajas and tamasi. So then other the rajabasis, they say no, because Balaram wears blue. And if suddenly Radha and Krishna there and they see someone wearing a blue cloth, they think, oh, Balaram is here. It's scary. They have to run away quickly. They have to hide because Bel, the brother, is coming. Because Balaram wears blue cloth. They think, oh, Balaram is coming. And red, Jatila wears red cloth. So if they see a red cloth, oh, Jatila. They have to run away and spit. So you shouldn't put them in anxiety. So don't wear red cloth or blue cloth. In Braja. Oh, what else? Oh. To worship the deity, to offer bhog to the deity within the vision of an uninitiated person or a non-Vaishnava. So don't offer bhog. Shouldn't be seen by non-Vaishnavas, because people desire to eat it. Oh, nice food there. I want to eat it. That's intended. So lower animals also, dogs. Dogs and things. So these are injunctions. In the Jagannath temple, this story was being told by one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Damodar Maharaj. He was our neighbor for many years. So I used to come and see Prabhupada. Anyway, he went to Jagannath temple one time, before ISKCON had the temple. And he was there. He was a pujari at the Jogpit for many, many years, since he was a young boy. So he knew all the rules of deity worship. So anyway, he went to the Jagannath Mandir, chanting Hare Krishna. Then he saw the Prohit, the priest came. He had a plate with some sweets, some fruit. And it wasn't covered. And he went into the Jagannath temple. That time, Jagannath temple was all broken down, and he had to push the door open. Something fell down from the top of the door onto the plate, which didn't have a cover on it. And there was also kids playing around, the dogs. But anyway, he didn't see that. The pujari went in and made the offering. And Damodar Maharaj said, I didn't say anything because it was a private temple. But I knew, because I'm a pujari, I know the rules. So the rules are there. Then he said, one old lady came. When I was there, no one was there, only me and the pujari. No one was there. Then one old lady came, little widowed lady, white cloth. She started to chastise the pujari. Why did you bring that Jagannath boga there without a cover on it? Didn't you see there was dogs around and other kids were playing? And when you went in temple, something fell from the door. Don't you see these things and you're offering to Jagannath? And Damodar Maharaj was completely surprised. He said, no one was there, only me. But she knew everything. He said, easy, be careful in the dham. You don't know who you're dealing with. They're dhambashis. They're eternal servants of the Lord here. Be very careful. She just looked like a little old widow with white cloth. But she knew what was going on in the savor of Jagannath. So, one shouldn't chew pan before the deity. Krishna can chew. Devotees should not take pan. Prabhupada went into one of the major Goswami temples, maybe Radha Damodar temple, for darshan. He was leaving, he was going out, and the pujari came running out and gave him prasadam, pan, prasad. He said, here is prasad, Prabhupada. Achyutananda was here. He said, you ate that, Prabhupada? So, we shouldn't eat pan, but there's also an injunction. One should immediately accept Mahaprasadam on being offered. One shouldn't hesitate, even if it's fresh, old, stale, coming from a distant place. One should immediately honor it, Mahaprasad. So Prabhupada observed that rule. But Mahaprabhu used to eat pan in the younger days, but one time he fainted when he took pan. So the Gaudiyas, they don't eat the pan. But the Shastra says, two kinds of prasadam, if you can get from the deity, you're very, very fortunate. milk and pan. If you can get any of these items, it's very fortunate. Special. One should not offer worship to a deity without worshipping the Vaikuntha deities like Ganesh. But then again, we're told that worship of demigods is forbidden. But here it says we should worship deities like Ganesh. Vaikuntha deity like Ganesh. So the idea of Ganesh worship is that he removes the obstacles. So we worship for removing obstacles, we are worshipping Lord Nrsingadev. But it says you worship Ganesh to remove obstacles. But we see that we worship Lord Nrsingadev for the same function. Why? Because Ganesh, the Brahma Samhita says that Ganesh, he keeps the lotus feet of Lord Nrsingadev on his tumalai. You know, the elephant has some bumps there. He keeps the lotus feet of Lord Nrsingadev on his head, and therefore he gets the shakti to remove the obstacles from Lord Nrsingadev. Therefore they worship Ganesh to remove obstacles, but he worships Lord Nrsingadev to get the potency to remove the obstacles. So we directly worship Lord Nrsingadev, so therefore we don't have to worship Ganesh. The function is being carried out by Lord Nrsingadev. Or another, the Gaudiyas, they also, Gana Isha. Gana means person, Isha means topmost. Who is the topmost person? Guru. So our Guru is Ganesh, Gana Isha. He's the topmost person, right? So first we do Guru Puja, right? Before we do any kind of worship, we worship Guru to remove the obstacles and anything else, but we worship Guru first. So Guru is our Gana Isha. So our Ganesh Puja is Guru, when we worship Guru before we start to do any function. Gana Isha. Otherwise, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you're coming from a traditional family and you become a devotee and then all of a sudden you want to take Sheep Ji off the altar, Ganesh Ji, Lakshmi Narayan Ji, and Devi, you want to take everyone off the altar because the devotees don't worship, and the whole families, we've been worshiping for generations and generations all these deities, and now you're going to take them off the altar, and the thunderbolts are going to start flying around from the demigods. And so he says, if the family members are a little bit, what do you say, uptight, they're a little bit in anxiety that you should continue the worship, the tradition of worshiping all the devatas as well. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and when you worship Ganesh, you have Ganesh there, but the meditation is, you worship a form of, as a Vaikuntha form of the Lord in Vaikuntha with four arms. His name is Vikshakshina. He's the commander-in-chief of Lord Vishnu's army, and he has an elephant head. But he is a Vishnu, he has four arms, he's a Vishnu deity. So he said that you can worship, looks like you're worshipping Ganesh on the altar, but your meditation is you're worshipping this Vaikuntha form of the Adi Ganesh. Each demigod has his, the prototype is in the spiritual world. There is a Vaikuntha, there's an Indra, a form of, forearm form of Indra, form of all the demigods. They have their prototype in the spiritual world, and those demigods, those Vishnu Murtis infuse their shakti into the demigods of this world, so then they become known as Indra, because the Vaikuntha Murti was named Indra, or the Vaikuntha, the name is Ganesh. Then he infuses his potency from. So they're all the prototype demigods are there in the spiritual world. So you meditate, he says, you meditate on Vishwakshina with the elephant head. And you're worshipping Ganesh. Then the family is happy. Oh, he's doing Ganesh Puja. But actually you're worshipping a Vaikuntha deity, not some temporary deity. Hundreds of Ganeshis coming in one day of Brahma. What use is that worship? It's a temporary deity. Ganesh. Okay, yeah, it gives more. You can read all these offenses anyway. Let's see, we can do. Well, I got one more, two pages, which deal with Vandanam. After. Yeah, Archanam comes Vandanam, offering prayers to the deity. Yeah, so one should always offer prayers to the deity when he goes in front of the deity. This is called Vandanam. And the seventh one is Dashanam, Dasyam. There is the following statement in regard to assisting as the Lord, as a servant. Dasyam means servant. After many, many thousands of births, when one comes to understand he's an eternal servant of Krishna, one can deliver others from this universe. If one simply continues to think he is an eternal servant of Krishna, even without performing any other process of devotional service, he can attain full success. For simply this feeling that I am Krishna's servant, one can perform the nine processes of devotional service. So this attitude is there throughout all the different processes, nine angas of bhakti, but the feeling I am Krishna's servant is within every anga. Or should be. 8. Shakyam. This is worshipping the Lord as a friend. In the Agastya Samhita, it says that a devotee engaged in devotional service by Shravanam Kirtanam sometimes wants to see the Lord personally. For this purpose, he resides in a temple. Elsewhere, there's this statement, O my Lord, Supreme Personality and Eternal Friend, although you are full of bliss and knowledge, you have become the friend of the residents of Vrindavan. How fortunate those devotees. In this statement, the word friend is specifically used to indicate intense love. Friendship, therefore, is better than servitude. In the stage above Dasyaras, the devotee accepts the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a friend. And ninth is Atman Nivedanam. This is the last of the nine angas. It refers to the stage of which one has no motive other than service to the Lord, and he surrenders everything to the Lord and performs his activity only to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee is like a cow that is cared for by its master. When it's cared for by its master, a cow is not in anxiety over its maintenance. Such a cow is always devoted to its master and never acts independently, but only on for the benefit of the master. In the book known as Bhakti Viveka, sometimes dedication of the soul to the Lord is called Atmanivedanam. The best examples of Atmanivedanam are found in Bali Maharaj and Ambarish Maharaj, because they offered everything to the Lord. So, somebody asked Jai Pradhaka Maharaj a question on when we was on the Mandala Prakram, Navdeep Mandala Prakram. Naividyam, Atmanivedanam, the self-surrender, that's the central island of Mayapur, Antadweep, that represents complete surrender to the Lord. Anyway, the devotee asked Jai Pradhaka Maharaj, when Ramananda Roy and Mahaprabhu were discussing, and Ramananda Roy said, surrender everything to Krishna, sarvadhanam parityaja mamikam. Mahaprabhu said, yes, very good, but go further, there's much more further to go. And so his question was, you know, we're thinking, atmanivedanam, complete surrender, you're surrendering everything, so how can Mahaprabhu say there's further to go? We thought this was our final goal, complete surrender. We're surrendering everything to Krishna. So Jayaprataka Maharaj said, well, he said, if you think you've got something to surrender, everything is Krishna's anyway, but if you think you have something to surrender, then that's kind of a lower understanding of Atmanivedanam. Oh, I surrender you my body, my words, but actually it's all Krishna's anyway. So what are you actually surrendering? So that's on the lower level, that type of surrender. The surrender of the gopis is something different. But so therefore he said, no, you can go further. You can discuss further. Okay. We covered the nine aspects and the verse and the Jagannath Rath Yatra ki. You know this Rath Yatra, the original Rath Yatra, performed by King Indradumna. That Rath came from the heavenly planet. And it was made from Dadichi's bones. You know the story of Dadichi and how they wanted his bones to make a weapon to kill him, so Indra could kill Britashara. And that story there. So they got the bones of Dadichi and they made the weapon, but other things were made also. Lord Shiva got a bow at that time from the bones. And they also built a rat, a big chariot from those bones. And that was in the heavenly planets. So when Indradumna installed Jagannath first time, they bought that rat from the heavenly planet, made from the bones of Dadichi. And that was the first Rath Yatra. Jagannath Swami ki. It's most probably still there also. Anyway, we're making a nice wooden one. Jagannath Rath Yatra Mahotsava ki jai Nitai go Premanandi. Hare Krishna. It's a bit late. 10 minutes.